In my lifetime, I have been under 8 Philippine presidents, and with the inauguration of Joseph Biden last Wednesday, I have lived through 12 American presidents. Most of them represent peaceful transition of power, except probably the two people power uprisings in the Philippines. But even the last one in the US was definitely abnormal, but still was a peaceful transition in the sense that there was no revolution. It is one hallmark of a democracy to have a peaceful transfer of power, one that is decided by the citizens through peaceful voting. But since the time of the resurrection of Jesus, there had been no need for a peaceful transfer of power because Jesus never vacated his rule and never will. And we are now with the mission of advancing that rule of Jesus Christ, which we call the kingdom of Christ. And we can distinguish humanity between those who are under his rule and those who are outside that rule. And for those of you who may not know and may not realize, but if you have not cast your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior, you are still outside a kingdom, no matter how religious you may be. And this is something that we are doing as a church. We are advancing the rule of Christ so that unbelievers may pay allegiance to him by faith. Now, that rule began with his resurrection. And perhaps no chapter in the Bible is more famous for the resurrection, both of Christ and of believers on the last day, than the 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. The very last verse of that chapter, verse 58, seems to be a fitting conclusion to the whole letter of 1 Corinthians, but Paul goes on with 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And as I've said, in the original, there was no division of chapters or verses. Therefore, it was just continuing. But chapter 16 to us does appear like a postscript. But if it is a postscript, it is a very important, very significant postscript, because here, Apostle Paul is working out the implications of those who live under the rule of Christ as opposed to those who do not. And in other words, in chapter 16, we are seeing some of the specifics of what it is to live under the rule of Christ in unruly times. Because if there is anything that can describe the problem of the Corinthian church, it was an unruly church. And Paul is testing their obedience by answering some of the questions that the Corinthians themselves raised in a letter to the Apostle Paul. And you see this in the expression, now concerning. You can divide many sections of 1 Corinthians by that introductory, now concerning. And Apostle Paul is applying here the rule of Christ on various issues. So let us not belittle what 1 Corinthians 16 is addressing. And the first we addressed is what is next to the last of the clusters of now concerning about the collection. From that, we derive the message that the resurrection rule of Christ moves to generous sharing, even in stingy times. And then last week, we saw Paul reveals his travel plans. But even those travel plans are not just for information of details. He is being dictated by the rule of Christ, and that travel plan of the Apostle Paul is exhibiting his zeal for the service of Christ. And from there, we derive the message that the resurrection rule of Christ inspires zealous service even in idle times. Now, I would invite you today to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we will be reading verses 10 to 18. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 to 18. And I read, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as this, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Caicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. Now, within this passage is the last cluster that begins with now concerning. But this is quite unique, because in the other now concerning clusters, it is about doctrine or about some practices that the church in Corinth was raising with the Apostle Paul. But in this case, it is about a very specific individual, that of Apollos. Apparently, the Corinthian church had much favor for Apollos, and they asked his visit to materialize in Corinth. And Apostle Paul was going to answer that. But even before the name of Apollos, Paul mentions other names. And after the name of Apollos, he also mentions other names. Now, what is common of these names is that these people are all in the ministry of one form or another. And Apostle Paul is asking the Corinthians to have the right treatment of these people in the ministry. He gives exhortations of duty that we can put under the category of respect. Respect in an unruly church that is exhibiting defiance. And if Apostle Paul expects such respect for men in the ministry from the Corinthian church in an unruly situation, then we can also address the same to all churches of our day. One of the evidences of being under the rule of Christ is respect to those in the ministry. And I'd like to give this message to you. The resurrection rule of Christ creates respect for the ministry even in defiant times. Ang pamamahala ni Kristong nabuhay na muli ay lumilikha ng paggalang sa ministeryo kahit sa palaban na panahon. The resurrection rule of Christ creates respect for the ministry even in defiant times. It brings us back again to the Corinthian problem of partisanship when it comes to people in the ministry. And that can only mean that for some of those they favored, they would give a measure of respect. But to others who do not belong to their favor, they would disrespect, they would become defiant. Now, it would appear that Apollos is a favorite of many in the Corinthians, and I would not wonder why. Apollos is described in Acts 18:24 as a very eloquent man, and probably the people in Corinth loved his preaching, loved his style, and they preferred him to others, and so they requested the Apostle Paul to let Apollos visit him, and it is that which Paul is going to address in a while. Now, but what we have here is not just Apollos. Apostle Paul mentioned several names. As I have said, they are all in the ministry of one form or another. In other words, they are leaders. And how we treat leaders who are in the ministry of the church reveals whether we are under the rule of Christ. Now, you may want to simply make your own zeal for service the only evidence of your being under the rule of Christ. You may want to make your giving the only evidence of being under the rule of Christ. Well, to the Apostle Paul, this is included as an evidence of being under the rule of Christ, is willingness to respect the men Christ has called to be in the ministry. And so we ask, what does Paul exhort the believers to be in their attitude to men who are in the ministry? Three things I'd like to draw from this passage. First, endeavor for peace. Pagsisikap sa kapayapaan. Endeavor for peace. Second, recognition as gift. Pagkilala bilang kaloob recognition as gift, and thirdly, subjection to work, pagpapasakop sa gawain, subjection to work. So those are the three things that constitute respect for men in the ministry. Apostle Paul expects of those under the rule of Christ, if Christ has risen again, he should be ruling, and those who are under his rule should be willing to recognize and respect those men Christ gives to the church to be leaders and ministers. And the first he expects is endeavor for peace. Concerning Timothy's visit, listen to Paul's appeal. Let no one despise him. Or to despise is to give little value. And Apostle Paul says, let no one despise him. Help him on his way. And the key word he uses is in peace. And knowing Timothy's timid personality, we know that from Paul's description in 2 Timothy, because of that timid personality, Paul tells the Corinthians, see that you put him at ease among you. And the reason that Paul attaches concerns Timothy's work. He, Timothy, is doing the work of the Lord as I am. Now, here we see the contrast between defiance and respect. Defiance provokes contention with leaders. Respect under Christ's rule endeavors for peaceful relation. Ang mga palaban ay gusto ng pakikipagtalo sa mga tagapanguna, ngunit ang paggalang sa ilalim ng pamamahala ni Kristo ay nagsisikap ng mapayapang relasyon. Paul has every reason to be anxious at the possible treatment that Timothy might get from the Corinthians. He explains it earlier in this letter in chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. He says, I sent you, Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. And then he adds, some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you. Well, what does Paul mean? He anticipates the mindset of some. They might be thinking, well, because Timothy is not an apostle, he is not Paul, they could be arrogant in their treatment of him. And the word arrogant here is the very same word used by Paul in chapter 8, verse 1, knowledge puffs up. When one has knowledge that is not tempered with love, he becomes a swellhead. He has pride of knowledge. And this is probably what those Corinthian people whom Paul describes as being arrogant, this would be the way they would treat Timothy. And that is Paul's fear, that they would try to outmatch Timothy and show him that they know better. And Apostle Paul says that that is disrespect, that is arrogance towards a man that he describes as working the work of the Lord as he does. Now, since Timothy cannot claim apostolic authority, that may be taken as license to claim better knowledge. And Paul sees that what is being compromised by this treatment of defiance is not just a person, but rather the peace of the church. But you see, defiant people never give premium value to peace. They thrive in conflict and contention. You know, in computer, we have to deal with malwares. A malware is short for malicious software. It can be a virus, it can be a worm or a Trojan or others, but the whole intention is to cause trouble to your computer work. And there are malwares in the church. Those who cause trouble, and they cause trouble by their defiance of leaders sent and called by God. But my challenge would be positive. My challenge to you is contribute to the peace of the church by respectful treatment of leaders in the ministry. Now, this is something which Apostle Paul has observed in the Corinthian church, their contentious nature. He says at the very opening chapter, chapter 1, verse 11, it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrelings among you. So he uses the plural. There are several quarrelings happening in the church in Corinth. And a quarreling church is a sad spectacle. And many times, there may be other reasons, but many times, quarrels, as it is the case in the Corinthian church, quarrels are rooted in defiance of the ministry. Defiance of ministry can happen by partisanship, because when you become partisan, you are in favor of others, and others you regard with disfavor on the basis of personal preference. Such partisanship is evident in those who say in Corinth, I am of Cephas, referring to Peter. I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos. So you have various parties defined by their preference of particular people, but defiance of ministry can also happen by disregard of leaders altogether, because there was another group in Corinth whose mantra was, I am of Christ. And by that they mean, I just want to be loyal to Christ. I have no regard for leaders whatsoever. But there are these people in church who think they know the Bible better than those in the ministry. They have no real peace, and they do not contribute to the peace of the church. And they become contentious. And I'm asking you not to be like that. If you are under the rule of Christ, you will contribute to the peace of the church, because what you do to faithful leaders that God has placed in the ministry of the church is not just troubling them, it is causing trouble in the church. Apostle Paul is saying, I expect Timothy to be back in one piece, so to speak, because he will be of help to my ministry. So Apostle Paul, in the mention of the names in this passage, he always tells the Corinthians of the good things these men are doing. And to cause trouble rather than contribute peace is to have trouble for the whole peace of the church. There is already so much contention in the world. Perhaps in your office, you find such contention. We certainly see that contention in society, definitely in politics. Joe Biden's inaugural speech called for unity. And then right after, he signed executive orders that deprived Christian organizations of their liberty of conscience, all in the name of killing the unborn and advancing transgenderism. That's hypocrisy in society. But we expect that of those outside the kingdom of Christ. But people in the church are supposed to be people under the rule of Christ. And we should contribute to peace. And that's what Paul is appealing to the Corinthian people. Make Timothy feel at ease. But defiant people, they love trouble. They love contention. But let there be peace in the church. And one way is to endeavor for peace by respect of leaders. Then there's a second thing, and that is recognition as gift. Pagkilala bilang kaloob. When Paul mentions the names in this passage, as I've said, there is a connection to the blessing they provide. In fact, Apostle Paul himself speaks of the blessing that is his as well as the church in Corinth. In verse 18 of our passage, he says, they refreshed my spirit as well as yours and give recognition to such people, Paul says. So what they do because they are gifts of Christ, which again shows the contrast between defiance and respect. Defiance makes one a constant critic, while respect under Christ's rule recognizes Christ's gift of ministry. ang mga palaban ay lagi na lang bumabatikos. Samantalang ang paggalang sa ilalim ng pamamahala ni Kristo ay kumikilala na siya ay nagkaloob sa iglesia ng ministeryo. Now clearly, this is Paul's doctrine of those who are put in the stewardship of ministerial teaching of the Word of God. He tells the Corinthians again earlier in chapter 3, verse 5, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. So they were instruments. You are not to regard the instruments in an idolatrous manner, because every instrument is growing only by the blessing of the Lord. But at the same time, you are to recognize that they were assigned in order to be a gift to you, a blessing. In the case of Paul, he planted, that is, the conversion of the people in Corinth happened because of Paul's ministry, and it is recorded in Acts 18. And then Apollos watered, it was Apollos who nurtured what Apostle Paul began. The Lord assigned. And that should be recognized. The Lord is the one who assigns the servants who will be instrumental to conversion or to growth. And Apostle Paul, you can feel his hurt in a personal ministerial way when he asks the Corinthians who were raising criticisms against his apostolicity in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Are you not my work in the Lord? You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. So in other words, have I not been a blessing to you? Have I not been God's instrument for your conversion? Does it not reveal the ministry that God has given me as an apostle? And this can be extended to ministries in the church. Has God not used those ministries for your spiritual profit? But the defiant will not see that. The defiant will not appreciate that. The defiant person wants to be considered self-dependent, and it will translate into constant criticism, censoriousness, fault-finding, and they are rarely, if ever, thankful for the ministry. Because the more they admit what blessings their leaders are to them, it entails admission of dependence, and they do not want that. It becomes gross in the Lord's Supper in the Corinthian church. As Apostle Paul says in 11:22, do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? In other words, because of that self-reliant attitude, even in the elements of the Lord's Supper, these arrogant people wanted to bring their own wine and food rather than be dependent on the whole church. Now, that doesn't happen today, but the whole point is this self-reliance that translates into defiance of the church and of leadership still happens. The very idea of being part of the body is to accept dependence on each other and dependence on the ministry that God has given. We depend on each other. That makes us the body of Christ. I've used this illustration before about penguins who survive the harshest winter by depending on each other's body heat. They would compress together and then change places every now and then in order to conserve that heat which they need. And so they survive. And in the harsh environment of this world that is full of contention, how do believers who should have the common denominator of being under the rule of Christ, how should they survive? They must depend on each other, and that includes dependence on the ministry that God has given to the church. So my challenge to you is appreciate the favor of Christ for the gift of a faithful ministry. Pahalagahan mo ang pabor ni Kristo sa kaloob ng isang tapat na ministeryo there is a connection to the first point about peace in being thankful for the ministry that God has given. This is clear in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, where Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Peace requires thankfulness. Fault finding does not cohabit with thankfulness. And what is important is that this is followed by verse 16, which says, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly." You see now the connection. It is when you have esteem for the word that you will be thankful for the ministry of the word. And when that ministry is faithful to the word and you are the beneficiary of it, you are to be thankful to Christ for it, because it is the gift of Christ. Thankfulness grows from knowing Christ's favor, that you are blessed with a faithful ministry. Just imagine, what if not? What if the ministry you are under is trafficking in false teachings or shallow handling of the word of God? Things that I hope you cannot criticize the ministry in the church about. This is the result of the resurrection of Christ. And those of you who still have not recognized that Jesus now rules because he rose from the dead, there is no other salvation except in him. But from his present throne, Ephesians 4 tells us he gives ministries in the church. And there should be that respect according to the ministry. One of the earliest works of Augustine, which he wrote in 389, he was converted in 386. So he was just a new convert of 3 years. But one of his early works has the title, The Teacher. And what is unique about this work is that he had a co-author. His co-author was his own son named Adeodatus. Adeodatus in Latin means gifts from God. And the book is arranged like a dialogue between a pupil or student, his son, Adeodatus, and Augustine standing as the teacher. And so evident is the respect accorded by the son, who also became a Christian, 16 years old, and Augustine obviously showed his love and respect for Adeodatus. Sadly, a year after that book, Adeodatus died, to the great sorrow of Augustine. But the point is, there was that respect between teacher and the one who is taught, because there is the recognition of the gift of Christ. But I have the last point, subjection to work, pagpapasakop sa gawain. The last name that Paul mentions is that of Stephanas, along with Fortunatus and Achaicus, and the household of Stephanas, whom he describes as the first converts in Achaia. Achaia is the province to which Corinth belongs. And Paul's description of Stephanas and his household are these words: they have devoted themselves to the ministry. The word he used in the original for ministry is diakoneo, the word for deaconing. Now, whether this is official diaconate or just the service of it, that is beside the point. Because Paul exhorts the Corinthians, be subject to such as this and to every fellow worker and laborer. And by fellow worker, Paul means my fellow worker. Workers in the ministry. Again, we see the contrast between defiance and respect. Defiance disregards ministerial labor. Respect under Christ's rule is submissive for the work's sake. Ang palaban ay nagwawalang bahala ng pagpapagal sa ministeryo ang paggalang sa ilalim ng pamamahala ni Kristo ay mapagpasakop alang-alang sa gawain. This is subjection not because of party or preference or favor, but because of the kind of work they do. And once again, there is that interconnection of peace, recognizing as gift and being submissive to work. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, where Paul says, "We ask you, brethren, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." So he does not say esteem them very highly in love because they are of very likable personality. That is not the point. It is because of the work that they do. Right now, thousands of health personnel are being trained for vaccination. And when the vaccines finally come and you submit yourself to vaccination, you have no opportunity of making a preferential choice. You will submit to vaccination to someone and you cannot call for someone you prefer by personality. You simply submit because of the work. And this is the kind of recognition, the kind of subjection that Apostle Paul is calling the Corinthians to do. Subject yourselves to such, because they have devoted themselves to the ministry. Submit for the work's sake. The defiant will not do that. The defiant wants those who lead to lead in such a way that they will pander to their tastes, their preference, and their self-interest. And my challenge is exercise humble deference to authorities in the church as called to work by Christ. Magkaroon ka ng mababang loob na pagkiling na magpasakop sa mga may pamamahala sa iglesia na mga tinawag sa gawain ng Panginoong Hesu Kristo. Let me make myself clear in a personal way. I am not onion skinned. In many conferences I have done for Reformation's sake, I've received all kinds of disrespectful treatment. People have shouted at me during open forums. People have walked out on me. Not only that, there have been occasions when men came to the platform to interrupt me or to disagree with me in public and refute everything I have said. I took them all and continue and willing to continue still in Reformation work. For all those disrespect, I count myself blessed and fortunate that I am in a church where by and large, I am respected. And for that, I thank you. But I would be lying if I say I am respected by all because I feel the disrespect of a small few. I received the brunt of disrespect last year. I spoke to them, and instead they went on public to all the more disrespect me. I followed the procedure of scriptures to speak to them, write to them privately, but all the more they showed their disrespect in public. To you, I am appealing. I am just about the business of the kingdom of Christ, as I believe most of the members are. And I want you to join us by respecting the ministry. And respect for the ministry is rooted in esteem for the Word of God. Or you can have another option, which was chosen by some influential members of the Church of Jonathan Edwards after 23 years of faithful labor when it was taught in the church by Edwards that the Lord's Supper should only be to visible saints. Some felt alluded to, and they gathered their, they used their influence to gather a people of those who voted against Edwards and removed him from the pastorate after 23 years of faithful labor. That's one option. But I'm telling you a better option. The better option is join us in respecting the ministry, which is about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happens when you have esteem for the word of God. No, the ministry has a lot of flaws. Respect is earned. Even Apostle Paul knows that. And he earned the respect of most. But he could not earn, even the Apostle Paul, the respect of those naturally disrespectful. And while I have earned the respect of most, some are just naturally disrespectful. And I'm appealing to you to prove your being under the rule of Jesus Christ. And do so by esteeming the word of God. That is the point of our response here. When it prays, break thou the bread of life, Jesus is still doing that. But he does not do it in physical presence, but by the ministry of the word of God. Are you really after the bread of life, the word of God? If you are given a faithful ministry, what it must be reciprocated with is respect for the ministry that is to be under the rule of Jesus Christ. Let us sing a response hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Let's close in prayer. Our great God, gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you that every Sunday we are reminded that Jesus is risen from the dead. And being raised from the dead, he now rules. And his rule for those of us who have subjected ourselves to that rule, we are called upon to live it out in various ways. And one of those ways, as Paul has challenged here, is to respect those whom you have put in the ministry. And we pray, O Lord, that such respect may be pervasive in our church, not because the men in the ministry are flawless, not because of our preference, but rather because of the peace that should be characteristic of the body of Christ. Because those in the ministry and are faithful in the ministry of the word are your gifts, and because we are to be submissive for the work's sake, not for the preferential favor that we may have towards those men, but rather because we esteem the word that is ministered by them. So we ask, Lord, that you may make use of this word to speak to each one according to each one's need. For those who are still outsiders to the kingdom of Christ, may you have a message of saving grace to them, that they may realize that there is only one Lord and Savior, and their only hope of salvation is believing in Jesus Christ. But for those of us who are followers of Christ, make it so that our following of him will be evident in our submission to the leadership and ministry you have installed in the church according to your will. Grant, Lord, that the body of Christ represented by Grace Baptist Church may be a church where peace, unity, and subjection to ministry are pervasive. All that your name may be glorified and that your kingdom may advance. And may the love of God and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.